This is Not Your Average Financial Podcast, episode 347, Gathering the Kings with Chaz Wolf.
Traditional financial planning is no longer working. And in the new normal economy, your host, certified financial planner Mark Willis, invites you to join us as we engage the new and improved steps for establishing financial sanity. Be curious, be stable, be sane. This is Not Your Average Financial Podcast, helping you think different about your money, your economy, and your future.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode. You know, imagine being 5 miles deep into the wilderness of Wyoming. Okay, do you have that in your mind? And now, 5 miles deep into the wilderness, you face off with a grizzly bear just 30 yards away, staring right at you. No, this is not some sort of weird financial metaphor, but it's a real life encounter that my guest today, Chaz Wolf, had to face. Just imagine being Chaz in that moment, staring into the eyes of a hungry grizzly bear. The thick tension in the air as you make some warning shots with your gun echoing through the wilderness. I hope you'll join me today as we delve into this heart-pounding tale of survival and courage and what it means for your personal life, your financial life, your relationships, your important legacy that you're leaving. That's what we're going to be covering on today's episode. I mean, this experience Chaz had was nothing short of heart-pounding. And I'm curious what you would do in that situation. This raw power of a grizzly bear is no match for everything else Chaz is going to discuss in today's episode. From survival in the wilderness to business struggles and marriage challenges, this episode today is going to run the gamut for what he considers to be the exceptional life. We're going to discuss the power of responsibility and the idea of kingship, meaning the importance of good power for the betterment of those under your care. That's what he means by kingship. And we'll cover that in today's episode. You know, one thing that Chaz reminded me of was this section in the Chronicles of Narnia, a book series I'm currently reading with my daughter. It's at the point in the story where the animals of Narnia, remember they can talk in this book, they're introducing the children who had fallen through the wardrobe to the greatest of all beasts, the lion Aslan. Now, Lucy, at this point in the story, asks if Aslan is safe. And the animals reply, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." That's such a great quote, and it reminded me of what my discussion with Chaz was really all about. You see, Chaz's encounter with a bear in grizzly country sets the stage for us to dive into a thrilling and terrifying and ultimately rewarding pathway of success and significance for creating wealth, not just for personal gain, but to create a secure legacy for one's family and to help others achieve similar success that Chaz has achieved. So who is Chaz Wolf? Well, it was an absolute pleasure interviewing him as my guest today. He's a dynamic leader with a successful track record in building, purchasing, and selling multiple seven-figure business ventures. Chaz is a true professional who really values discipline, integrity, and inspiring work ethic that really came up as part of his mindset, and it came right out in my conversation with him. As we talked, I was really struck by his ability to maximize operations and processes and his award-winning sales and business acumen. What I found most fascinating, though, about Chaz was his unique outlook on business, which is grounded in his background in both sales and operations. I feel like he's really a master in linking business and life together. These are two usually opposing parts of an entrepreneur's life to drive growth, retention, and honestly, success and exceptionalism. Chaz's approach is tailored. It's straightforward. He really came off as a genuine man trying to do the very best in the world for himself, his family, and his people that he works with. So I really can't wait for you to hear the insights and the experiences that Chaz shares during our conversation. You're going to get a ton of value out of today. So take it away, Chaz. Chaz, welcome to the show.
Mark, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. This is going to be exciting.
Well, speaking of exciting, right before we hit record, I asked you to just give me a teaser for what I would ask you about. So I don't know this story yet, but you almost got eaten by a bear. Okay. That's not a metaphor, everybody. I assume that's an actual
Yeah.
Like tragedy moment here. So tell us that story. Take us to that moment.
Not the financial bear that you help people get out of, right?
Thank you.
although we could talk about that one too, but you know, this was an actual grizzly bear. I'm 5 miles deep into the wilderness of Wyoming and bow hunting an elk. The day before, we had been chasing elk all day and slipped in right between a couple of bulls bugling. It was just a beautiful, magnificent symphony of nature. And I was able to harvest one. It was fantastic. It was a beautiful bull. Awesome. And we had quartered it and moved it as far as we could, probably a third of a mile away, and hung it in a tree because we're in grizzly country. And the last thing you want to do is come back to a carcass that has a grizzly on it. So try to move as far away as we can. We don't make it out that night that I shot it until probably 3 or 4 a.m. So we get a couple of hours of sleep. We make some breakfast and we wrangle up the horses and mule and we go back out to get the meat. And so we get back to where the meat is hung about at dark that night. Again, we had to walk back into the wilderness again and all this stuff. And so we're loading meat. And when we first got there, actually, we heard this like almost sounded like a pistol being shot. The sound sounded further away, but it was a pistol sound. But it, like if it had been that far or that close, rather, it would have been louder, but it wasn't. Like the sound was farther away, but we could tell it was closer. It was just a really, we're like, what is that? So odd. We're like 5.5 miles deep into the wilderness. There's nobody back here, just us. We continue loading up the quarters. And I hear a shuffling, like a large animal shuffling in the dark around us. And we've got a little squirrely mule. I think most mules are kind of squirrely. And his name is Cletus. Okay. And so I'm like, hey, Dad, I think Cletus got loose. And he responds back saying, no, Cletus is tied to the tree standing right next to me. I can't see my dad. He can't see me.
Dark. Yeah.
It's dark. Yeah. It's dark. And I'm like, well, something of a large frame went from there to there really fast. And he's like, okay, well, you know, pull out your bear spray, pull out your firearm. And, you know, because I was kind of on that side, he's like, you know, Uncle Troy and I'll start loading or finish loading and just let us know if you see anything. I got my flashlight, I'm armed, got the bear spray, and I hear the shuffle again. I'm like, okay, things are happening. What are we doing here? And we put a little bit brighter light, and there's a grizzly about 30 or 40 yards from us. We can see eyeballs, and he's just staring at us. And long story short, we had to fire a couple of warning shots in his direction. You know, grizzlies are on the protected list, so they have to basically maul you before you can shoot it. So we weren't trying to do that. But he did come a little closer. He did kind of raise up a little bit. He didn't like fully stand up, but he did move on down the road. And that was pretty intense. So wow. Anyway, we didn't actually get eaten, thank goodness. And of course the bear lived, everything is good. But
that wow. What a story. That's awesome. Well, I mean, everything else is only going to be even more intense from that because you've got so much great content to share, but I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
So, tell us how you got from there to what you're doing today. I mean, you're not a hunter full time, I assume.
Nope.
So what do you do when you're not, you know, taking down elk and bear in grizzly country?
Yeah, well, I love the way that you frame the show, helping people think differently or out of the box financially, because that has totally been me. I'm a college dropout turned serial entrepreneur, and I'm just crazy enough to keep trying and keep going. Some have been successful, some haven't. And even on my show, which were you able to come on and share your story, we talk about these failures and successes because I'm just happy to keep playing the game is really what it comes down to. So to bring that down a little bit, we've got businesses in retail. We've got businesses in construction and real estate. Of course, I have a podcast. I mentioned that. We have a network, a mastermind network called Gathering the Kings. And that's really what my life's work is about. I'm all about building wealth and legacy for my family, but I also want to help others do the same, which is why you and I align so closely. So hopefully we can get to do that here today on the show.
So tell us about that. You know, what does it mean to sort of have a type of business that is yielding not just money in the bank, but truly an exceptional life? Describe that life, that exceptional life as you define it. And then how do we get that as a business?
We call it the exceptional life because it's truly what we're all after. Like really, when you break it all down, like, of course, we want success, but success is determined in different ways. And so how we, as Gathering the Kings, as a network and many entrepreneurs that are part of our group, how we define that is important. One, because a real mastermind is only based in two minds or more working in harmony unto a definite chief aim. That's defined by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, not me. Lowly, oh me, I just follow the instructions, right? And so if I'm supposed to be in harmony with you, what are we in harmony towards? Well, that's the exceptional life. Okay, how do we define that? That's winning in all areas. We've got, you know, obviously business and finance. We've got marriage and family. We've got fitness and health. We've got faith and even belief, even self-belief. And then, of course, you know, lifestyle, which is really just joy. So if you can win in all those areas, it's my firm belief that you will live the exceptional life. And we help people do that. So obviously those five dimensions of kingship are important, and we do trips and Zoom calls, and we bring in experts like Mark Willis and all kinds of fun stuff to be able to help people live the exceptional life. Hopefully that gives you a little context.
So exceptional means there's an exception to the rule here.
Yeah.
The typical, I'll say American, but really it's worldwide. The problem is worldwide. We call it the oh-so-average approach to living. How do you see the problem as it presents itself for most, not just business owners, but really everybody? And then what is it about the mastermind that helps people break free and experience that exceptional life? What is the secret sauce, let's say, of that mastermind concept?
Yeah, well, so the formula or the sauce is first rooted in you as the individual. And again, most of these success principles are defined in all kinds of books. And so this is not something that I've come up with. It's just me being able to facilitate these. And so first you have to understand what it is that you're after, a desire of sorts, right? A definite chief aim personally for you. And then you follow the map of developing yourself personally and in your mind, of course, so that you can execute on a plan and be persistent and all the buzzwords of success. But what that really looks like is you getting clear. If you can get clear, define what you're after, then you can start making good decisions based on what you're after. Mm-hmm. And if I can get clear and make good decisions and just stick with it long enough, whatever I want will be, if I believe that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know I believe that. I know you believe that. And I know you help people believe this. And so I would say that oh so average life is probably rooted in unbelief, truly. If we can get someone to believe that something is possible, their thoughts then change, then their actions change, then their results change, right?
Mm, yeah. Well, you said lack. So I would say the opposite of what you said. To get the oh so average life, you're going to get you have to follow the opposite pathway. So clear,
yep.
Lack of clarity. Most people are unclear as to what they even want.
That's right.
I mean, I don't even know. It takes them 45 minutes, some people, to pick out their dinner, you know? So for that, a lifetime can be kind of overwhelming. I want to know, how does one get clear? So that's my first question, first part to this question. And then the second part you said is you have to decide. Well, how do we get the courage to make that decision once we're clear on what we want? You know, again, I think many people are afraid to decide. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's just, we don't know what the options are. Mark, should I do a 401k? Mark, should I quit my day job and become a business owner? You know, these are questions that I hear quite often. So one, how do we get clear? And then two, how do we find the courage, or maybe at least the wisdom to know what to decide on?
Yeah, those are both really, really good questions. So I hope the listeners are paying attention. You've positioned them to get really good stuff here. The first one there of clarity comes from you doing the inner work. Then I can go, okay, well, what do I want? That's the inner work of just being like, what are these options? What's my heart's desire? Which is then followed by that belief I was talking about, because if you want to be an astronaut, for lack of better terms, but you just don't believe it's possible, then you may as well not have even said it, right? Because it's a moot point. Belief like is so glued to that desire. Otherwise, nothing actually happens. That's the faith principle that Think and Grow Rich talks about. So that's the clarity piece. You can sit long enough, not necessarily in one session, but sit long enough with who you are. What are you made for? What do you want? The belief then comes after that. Sometimes you have to work into the belief. We can talk about that if you'd like. And then the second piece is, how do you get the courage? Which you kind of, it's a little different than belief, although I would say that they're tied together. The belief, like self-belief, is going to have to come differently than courage, in my opinion. The courage that I've gotten and that we give inside the group and even on our show is, hey, look, look what Mark did. Hey, look, look what John's doing. Let's talk about it. You know, and what that does is it transfers courage, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I can see what Mark's done, right? Like, I think I even told you this when you were on my shows, like the first financial guy that I sat down with in my 20s, I was like, hey man, like, don't take this the wrong way, but can you just show me what you do with your money? And he took it as like me as challenging him, but it was like, well, no, actually, if you're going to touch my money, I kind of want to know what you're doing with yours, you know, and like, show me, see me, like, I want to see, put belief in me, transfer courage to me that you know what you're doing.
Yeah. well, so now, there's a reason why they call them brokers, because they're broker than you.
Yes. So,
you know, please understand that.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about this on the show, you know, on Gathering the Kings, and you gave an excellent response to that, which is, look, you know, most guys aren't willing to share because they haven't actually done it. And
that's
so
right.
The cool thing about what you do is that you've not only done it all, but then you found the things that like really, really work. And then you're like, hey, look, I've kind of done the work for you. I've kind of fumbled around on these things. And like, here, these three things like really work for a guy like you.
And I've said this on the show before, but any person who's a client of mine, if they want to see an annual statement I've got from one of our policies, happy to walk through as much of that information as possible, because and you're saying this, and I'm going to use slightly different words, but borrowing our belief is one way I like to talk about this. We need to borrow Chaz's belief that I can achieve a higher horizon, that I'm not just trapped in the crab bucket of my own, you know, preconceived notions of what's possible. You know, the idea of the crab bucket being, I try to escape, but then everybody else pulls me back down. I need to borrow Chaz's belief, or I need to borrow another friend or mentor's belief that can foresee a larger expansion of what's even possible, the potential that's latent inside all of us. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but great stuff. Great stuff. What is this idea? And you mentioned briefly those five dimensions of kingship, and I heard a few of them. Would you mind to just tell us again what, when you think about the paradigm of kingship, what does that include?
Well, first off, we have to define kingship, right? And that's the responsibility of power. And especially when we can reverse engineer it as, well, where did the king come from? Well, the king was first, well, maybe in a more traditional sense, he was a prince, but, you know, and the more maybe what we understand is like, well, warrior and then king. And warrior is the, you know, like, I got to fight for today and I can't really think about other people because I'm in survival mode. And so kingship is really this fullness or this maturity of going, look at all these other people that are tied to my decision-making, right? It's the responsibility of power. And as a business owner, as an investor, as a dad, like, I look at those things and go, okay, well, this one decision can affect, well, not just the 20 team members, but their families and the clients and their families and like all these things. And you can really get overwhelmed pretty quickly, right? And that's, we talk about isolation and getting out of all that, but that's kind of another story. So the five dimensions are this: business and finance, one, which most business owners, investors, like, you talk money and they're like, I'm here for it, you know? We want to win financially. We're ambitious. Okay, fine. Number two, family and marriage. And it's not necessarily in this order, because I could tell you this, we both have already agreed on this, is that my relationship with my wife has been, not if the catalyst, like maybe the overarching reason for a lot of the push that's been my quote unquote financial success.
Sure.
Maybe not because she's in the business, but because she has, you know, served her role or challenged me on certain things, you know? So anyway, that's number two. Number three is health, mental and physical. And number four, faith, which we divide that out as obviously spiritual, but also self-belief. And then number five, lifestyle. We really break that down to joy, material and immaterial. They're just things that, that can make us happy. So those are the five dimensions. The piece in there that I want to kind of circle back on just real quick is that I mentioned it quickly, was the isolation. Gathering the Kings exists, one, because what happens when a guy like you and me realizes that these decisions that I'm making are really impactful, that's like, whoa, like, this is heavy, dude. And that's okay for a while. And I'm imagining myself back, you know, 10 years ago. And it's like, put it right here. I got it. Put it right here. I got it. And I think guys like you and I have big shoulders, and
you're,
it's fine.
For those that can't see it, you're putting something on your shoulders here say, I'll accept that responsibility. I'll accept that burden. Is that kind of what you mean there?
Yeah. Carrying the weight. Put it right here. I got it. Right.
Yep.
And And that's fine for a while, especially for high performers, but we're still human. Right. And so over the course of time, that gets heavy. And in essence, coming out of isolation and stepping into a community is guys or gals helping you carry the weight of that responsibility. And so that's first and foremost. Like when you come out of isolation, a lot of the problems go away, honestly. Mm-hmm. They dissolve because what you were talking about earlier, when I can see someone else winning, or when I'm encouraged by another person or challenged by another person, when I can see what's possible, then I can just keep going, or I can call a guy and, you know, and ask for advice, whatever. You get what I'm saying. After the isolation is removed, then we can start working on like, okay, what's the vision, the personal development? Where are you going? What are your desires? What's the belief level? How do we raise it? You know, all the functionalities of personal development and winning in all areas.
Chaz, I'm just impressed. I love the idea of the domains. I don't know if that's of the king, you know, the ideas, the areas of responsibility. I think there's a huge, I guess, dearth or starvation of responsibility taking. There's plenty of giving, you know, and plenty of people demanding rights. But I heard someone once say, anytime someone demands a right, someone else has demanded a responsibility to that right. So if you are demanding a right, someone else has to be responsible to that right. And so when you're a king in this case, in many cases, you are now responsible for. It's not a dominion of power and oppression. That's certainly an evil, wicked king. We've seen plenty of those in Lord of the Rings and movies like it. But the good ones, the good kings, you're saying, come out of isolation and serve in the interest of the betterment of the people in their jurisdiction or in their domain, let's say, and has to really be buttressed by all these different areas of life, health, faith, family, business, and finance. Tell me your story, Chaz. How'd you get here? You mentioned briefly, you know, kind of your family background, but tell me your experience with isolation in business in particular, if you'd be willing to. Yeah. And then why did that ultimately lead to the gathering of the kings?
How did we get here? Isolation. I am 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 in this four-year process of growing my edible arrangements franchise domain. I'm the youngest franchisee in the system at that time at 24, turning 25 with my first location. I'm turning 29, purchased my seventh location, purchased slash built seven of them. You know, three states, 65 employees, doing millions in sales every year. I become a millionaire that year at 29. And I'm completely crushed because I'm doing it all by myself. Now, inside the business, seven locations, three states, 65 employees. I wasn't doing it all myself, but I was carrying a whole bunch more than I should have been because that's just kind of naturally who I am. As entrepreneurs, it's typically who we are. I'll just take care of it myself, which is kind of aligns with that responsibility of power. It's my responsibility. I'll take care of it. It's fine, right? I'll do it. Put it right here on my shoulders. I'll take it. And there's something noble and honorable about that, but not really when it's to the detriment of A, your family, B, your marriage, C, your health, right? Because at the end of the day, if you wither away, then your business, your team, your wife, your kids aren't going to have you anyway. So it really is kind of flipping the script going, I don't want to be woo and like sing kumbaya with you at a campfire. Although I love campfires and maybe I'll sing with you. I'm not necessarily opposed to it. But what I'm really saying here is, why don't we just be honest about what it is here? You as the individual, the entrepreneur, need a full cup. And part of that, how we're designed, is that you need people around you. A, to transfer curves, like we've already talked about, to encourage you, to challenge you, to give you insights and feedback and all kinds of fun stuff. And then once you can get a full cup from that regard, now you can start like growing yourself intentionally, not just saying like, I want to grow and go better and let's go to the next level. It's like, no, intentionally, what does this look like for me? You know, 2024, what does it look like for me to quote unquote go to the next level in my marriage this year, or my relationship with my children, or my business, or my finance? If I'm thinking legacy and Mark and I are trying to put together a 100-year plan, what does that actually look like? What are the steps this year that I'm trying to take? And so the word here is I can now become intentional about how I then govern, quote unquote, maybe all of this responsibility because I got a full cup. You know what I mean?
Well, I want to go into that full cup idea a bit more. Do I want an overflowing cup? No, I don't necessarily, because I mean, we can stretch the metaphor and it probably could go in a lot of different areas there.
Yeah.
You know, Brandon Neely, a colleague of mine and someone I know, he and his wife, Amanda, coined the phrase, the overflow principle, where he really describes they want a cup that is overflowing because it benefits the people that it spills to, and there's, they can't give out of their emptiness.
That's right.
But you mentioned that you had this experience sort of trying to run this whole business by yourself. What was your insight, or what was your aha moment? When did you realize it couldn't just be all up to you, even though you were very capable enough to run these 7 franchises? Yeah. What was your aha moment?
Yeah, the aha moment was I'm sitting in my house and preparing for Valentine's Day for the franchise system. It was Edible Arrangements. Valentine's Day is the biggest day of the year. And for those 7 locations, I would go from about 65 employees to 500, 550 for 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
So just, yeah, like, holy moly. And of course, it's not like I dipped all, you know, 100,000 strawberries across our locations or whatever it was, but I definitely was the one who talked to and booked in all 500 and something temps for those 7 locations. It was me. That's what I did. That was my role. And I remember, of course, I had other investments going on and other businesses. And just, I mean, it was just, I remember sitting there about to pull my hair out. And my wife was like, hey, first off, Valentine's Day will come and go. And it'll be fine. And you're going to be fine. I can see that you're like really struggling here. And she didn't know necessarily what to do other than tell me what to do so I can help you. But it was like a breaking point for me. And so things changed after that year for me. I had to change my association. I had to change my thinking. Like a lot of actually things changed for me that year, but that was the moment where I was like, okay, I can't keep going. And that's what I found with all of our members too. It's like, at some point they've recognized that like this, it's not sustainable. I can't keep going. And I've got guys that do tens of millions, even a couple $100 million in a year's time. And they're like, dude, just coming into a room of winners like this is so refreshing. So when you can create a space where someone who's doing a couple $100 million or someone who's trying to get to the million, and maybe there's are different rooms, but the scenario is that there's a community of people who want to win in all areas, not for the sake of one or the other. You know what I mean?
Something better than that crab bucket that we may have been used to growing up as young folks.
The opposite.
Love it. Love it. So, okay, take a minute. You stumbled through the wormhole of time. You've now traveled back in time. You can now meet that 25-year-old Chaz who's pulling his hair out, going nuts, 28 years old, whatever, as things get crazier. What's some advice you'd give little Chaz? And maybe what's one thing you'd want little Chaz to focus on?
I would tell myself that I needed one community and I needed to think bigger. I was already really ambitious and excited, but like I said, I just tried to lift the weight all by myself. And that just, it basically threw out my back for all intents and purposes here. And so I had to nurse myself back. So if I could go back before all that, I'd say, hey, look, bud, champ, like you're good. You're strong. I get it. You're 25. You're going to run the gamut. But like, if you go with others, it'll happen better for you. And that could be partners. That could be a mastermind group. That could be linking up with a guy like you here on a podcast. Like basically just come outside yourself. Quit being so transactional and selfish and just start shaking hands and caring about people.
Love it. Yeah, there's something to that. This idea that you get to a certain point where you can only grease the engine so much. Dan Sullivan has a book called 10X is Easier Than 2X. And I feel like there's something to be said from going to 1 to 2X. I mean, that's doubling your productivity or your happiness or your health or whatever. But how would you 10X what you're doing today? It would require a whole new mindset, a new framework of understanding, and certainly resources outside of your own capacity, which is where the community comes in. So tell us about this community in brief, just sort of what's a day in the life like, or a day in the year like for the events that you put on, the coaching, and ultimately, who is this for, and maybe also who is this not for?
Yeah, great question. It's for the entrepreneur who's, of course, ambitious and wants to grow, growth obsessed, really, not even growth minded, growth obsessed. The caveat there is that we want to grow in all areas. And so there's a family aspect, there's a holistic perspective of all areas. And so who it's not for is somebody who wants to transactionally just get another deal or, you know, come and network, you know, just to try to, I don't know, get another deal. Basically, you know, I've had some big business owners like, hey, I'll pay up front. But all they really wanted was to just transact. And it's like, you know, that stuff happens in our group, like a lot, actually. But it's after the relationship is built. That's just what's mm-hmm. more important. So the day in the life truly is relationship building, whether it's on our app and people saying, hey, I got an interview tomorrow. What do you guys think about these questions? Or I got an issue happening right now with an employee. What do you guys think about this scenario? What should I do? What should I say? We use the culture index. And so everybody kind of knows, you know, their profiles, and then when they're learning their teams and they're building their teams based on certain personality traits. And so we're talking a lot about that. We've got monthly roundtables. We've got quarterly speakers. We do biannual events. One coming up here in a few weeks, late March, we're going to be in Nashville, and it's all about, of course, like the networking and the business and the getting together and growing ourselves in our business. But we also do just really fun experiences. We've been deep sea fishing. We've been, you know, here in Kansas City to the Chiefs game and a you know, tailgate party with food and live music. And we've been side by sides in the sand dunes in Utah. We've been hiking in the mountains in Georgia. We're going to have a private music experience in Nashville. It's like, we want to work hard, play hard, do it with amazing people. And can we win in all areas all at the same time? I believe so.
That's awesome. So how, I guess, who is this for? Who is it not for? You've mentioned some about that. How can folks find you? How can folks get along with the trail of Chaz Wolf's magical dust? What sort of, if they just want to tiptoe in, and then if they're ready to dive in, give us those two different pathways.
Yeah, tiptoe, check out Gathering the Kings podcast. If you're already listening to the show, you'll like that one as well. We've, you know, recorded some 450 episodes or so in the last couple of years, and a bunch of 7 and 9 figure guys that are well known, like Mark, and other guys that, you know, that across the town don't even know them, but they're freaking kings, and you'd never know it unless I had them on the show. It was pretty incredible, actually. All the way down to, gatheringthekings.com is a great website that you can check out to see kind of like the vibe or the feeling of what Gathering the Kings is all about. Of course, you can see our previous videos on events that we've done, and, you know, just fun stuff. You know, really the community, like, everybody needs one, right? So like, maybe they've been a part of a mastermind, maybe they've been a part of a group coaching. There's a big difference there. Really, for someone who's oriented around wanting to be around other people, but other people in different industries and different perspective, and really have an agitation of thought. For someone who's listening to this, I'm going to say that that's probably up their alley, because they're already thinking outside the box because they're listening to you. But this is the way life is done. It's called agitation of thought, and going, if I can just get around a guy like Mark and he just helps me think a little bit differently, he gives me this methodology that's just like, whoa, I just don't hear anybody else talking about this. Maybe it could do something well for me. Like, those types of concepts that are just so different, when you get a bunch of people like that in the same room, it's pretty, pretty high frequency.
All right. Give us a piece of advice as we wrap up today.
Yeah. Well, I was paying close attention. So as a business owner, as a dad, as a husband, as a leader, you need to be paying close attention to your money, to your businesses, to the people that are in your responsibility. I was aware of danger. It doesn't mean that I was fearful necessarily, although I was shaking in my boots there for a second. But I was prepared. I had tools that mm-hmm. could help me in that scenario. And so there are things, people, I had my family, my dad, my uncle were there. I was surrounded by people, tools, and maybe strategies. And so I would just suggest to the listener that they get around people. Maybe that's Gathering the Kings. Maybe it's a different group. And they get around people, even like you, Mark, that can give them strategies that in those moments when they're maybe fearful or a little bit unknown, they can still overcome and get the bear to go away.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to think about the title, but Bear Spray, or, you know, Gathering the Bears, or figure something out. I love this.
Got
man.
Eaten by a yeah. grizzly.
Thank you for your time, Chaz. And thanks for coming on our show today.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the opportunity. Blessings to you.
Thanks again, Chaz, for coming on the show today and sharing all your insights, your wisdom, and experience. And way to go, fending off that mega bear in the wilderness. I learned a few things. You know, one thing that I took away from this episode was he touched a nerve for me when he got to this idea of carrying too much responsibility as an entrepreneur and the need to prioritize the important relationships, your family, your marriage, your health, your own personal relationship with yourself over just solely business successes. Now, if we're going to make it long-term in this life and in business, you're going to need a support system of people who see the world the way you do, where the exceptional life is not solely about balance sheets and profit and loss statements, but it's about a meaningful set of experiences, a set of principles and values that you can pass on to people who you care about the most. Now, as Chaz mentioned, it can be overwhelming and even lonely in business sometimes. So there was an important wake-up call throughout the episode calling all entrepreneurs for realizing the need to seek outside help. That might be important friendships or a mastermind. The pivotal moment came for Chaz during that Valentine's Day preparation with his franchise system, realizing he was truly just overwhelmed to the point where he was trying to manage multiple locations and employees. It shocked me. His breaking point. And that experience, though, for him led to a shift in his perspective, helped him look for more support, and helped him change the way he perceived of himself as an entrepreneur. So what about you? Where are you trying to white knuckle it right now in your life? Where in your life could you find some extra support? Is it in your income or maybe your physical health? Could you look for a coach there? Who could you call on for assistance? For me personally, the main takeaway from the conversation was the emphasis on growth in all areas of life, including family and a holistic perspective on wealth and kingship. Chaz highlighted this idea, not just focusing on business success, but like personal growth, relational growth. And I've constantly pushed back on this, I guess, oh so average idea of balance in life. For me, balance is a means to an end. What I mean by that is balance is for a purpose. Each step I take is a balancing act, right? As you take one step, your foot is balancing to help carry you to the next step. But the point of that step is not simply balance. That's not the outcome of taking a step. Hopefully, the goal of taking a step is to move toward a goal, to move toward what you want. If I'm walking to the kitchen to get a glass of water, yeah, I'm balancing step after step. But I'm not just balancing for the sake of balancing. I'm trying to get to water. I'm thirsty. So to me, rather than a balanced life, I want an exceptional life, like Chaz describes. But what about you? How could you find a more holistic, abundant life for yourself today? What relationship could you invest in? How could you learn more about money? How could you work on improving your life situation, whatever that might be? Maybe it has to do with managing stress or your marriage or your physical health. Find a way to start taking steps toward your goal today. And final takeaway for me was mastering the idea of kingship. What does it mean to be a king or queen in your domain? How could you balance power and responsibility? Explore that dimension of kingship. Where is your domain today? Maybe your domain is no bigger than your own house. Clean up your house, your bedroom, whatever it takes. Maybe it's a small business. Maybe it's taking care of the kids, making sure they're, you know, ready for school each day. Take on that mantle of responsibility. Enjoy the process of caring for others. Be like Aslan, the king lion. Not necessarily safe, but truly and completely good. So if you need help in this arena, reach out to Chaz. And if you know you need a financial partner, I'd be honored to serve you in this regard. You know, I'd be honored to be part of your circle of kings. So thank you for joining me, guys. I hope we can connect and work on kingship together. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of Not Your Average Financial Podcast, helping you think and live differently with your money, your kingship, and your future.
This has been another episode of the Not Your Average Financial Podcast. To join a financial revolution and start thinking different about money, go to www.nyafinancialpodcast.com and click Request a Meeting.
The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.